All right, switch rolling.
Okay, awesome. Apparently I have to stand right in the middle, otherwise we start squeaking. Can everybody hear me okay? Are we good? All right. Well, thank y'all for coming. I just want to find out. I want to kind of get a feel for the room. My name is Ashley, by the way. I work here at Brook Hills, and I do lead a small group, but I lead college Samford girls, and most of my girls are juniors. But I kind of want to get a feel for the room. So just kind of tell me, why did you come to this breakout? Like, what was it that stuck out to you? What was it that made you think this is the one I want to come to? Because I want to know where you're at so that I can better know how to direct what I'm saying. So y'all kind of fill me in. Why this one? And what was it that stuck out to you? What are you hoping to get out of this? Anybody? Audience, crickets. All right, I feel like a little like Charlie Brown's teacher, wonk wonk. Anybody, so why this one? Like, what was it that stuck out to you? What are you hoping to get out of this? Yes. She was saying, if you couldn't hear, Yao was saying, yesterday David talked about the circles, and you're transformed from the inside out, so a transformed heart, and then the next one was a transformed mind. And we are going to talk a little bit about that. And Ginger, can you turn me down just a little bit so I'm not squeaking as bad? Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else? Definitely. So who in here struggles with anxiety or worry? Okay. Who in here battles fear? Whether that's fear of man or just fear of what's next or fear of I have no idea what's happening next in my life. Okay. And then lust and different things that we struggle with. And that is my prayer, is that this won't be some, we want our main sessions to be just some theological ground setting for us, but we want these breakouts to be very practical and hands-on. And so that's my prayer for our time together this afternoon, that this will be handles you can hold on to, and it's not just telling you this is what God says about how you should live. It's, okay, now how do I do that? And so my prayer is that this time can be very practical for us. So let me just start out, and let's open up with a word of prayer. So y'all pray with me. Father, we come before you. God, just thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we have had to hear so much truth. God, thank you that you have given us your word. And God, thank you for Christ. Thank you that you transform us from the inside out. Thank you that even though we were your enemies, you sent Christ to die for us. And God, we have gone from being your enemies to be part of your family. So God, thank you for your
transforming work, thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your just nature. And God, I pray just over our next couple of minutes, our next hour together, Father, that you will guide my speech. Father, that I can speak your words and your truth. And God, you know what every single person in here is battling. You know the thoughts that are in their minds. You know the sins that they are struggling with. And God, I thank you that Romans 8 tells us that we are more than conquerors through you. And so God, I pray that you can show us how to have victory in our thought life. So God, use our time together for your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, you can take your Bibles and turn to Romans 12. Actually, Romans 11. We're going to kind of start there. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. And just to kind of help fill you in my life, I don't know how God works in your life, but in my life, God starts by just kind of teaching me a truth. And then it's like, okay, now that you've got the head knowledge, let's see you live it out, all right? Let's make this where you've got to, like, get out of the classroom and do the field trip and do the experiment and not just, like, head knowledge. And so for me, what I'm about to share with you really has just been, like, I was even looking at my journals from when God started working on me through this passage. It was 2.5 years ago. And so God is just taking me on this journey of, okay, God, how do I deal with sin in my thoughts? How do I deal with sin at its root? Because we can have sin in our lives, but a lot of times we treat the symptoms, and you're never going to heal the disease unless you get at the root of the disease. And so we've got sins that we deal with, but a lot of times those sins are symptoms of something that is deeper. And so you've got to get to the root of that. And I don't know about you, but I was kind of like, okay, God, but how do I do that? How do I get to the root? How do I find out what's really going on, and how do I deal with that with you? So this is a journey that God took me on, and I have in my small group of college girls, and we've all kind of been through college or are in college, so you remember what that life is like. And even just this past year, we had 5 breakups in December. They always break up at finals. I don't know what it is, but we had 5 breakups, and so it was a lot of late nights, a lot of crying, and just in dealing with those breakups and dealing with just a fear of man that we have, just that desire to please people, and just dealing with insecurity and loneliness, just dealing with all of these things, God is just, like, almost on a weekly basis, like even this past Monday night, just on a weekly basis, just using this in conversations with girls. So I want you to know that this is not just for you, but God wants you to use what you're going to hear today, and to use it in your friends, to use it with people that you're discipling. So this isn't just for you. But I want you to definitely listen to this for yourself as well. So Romans 1 through 11, just to give you kind of where we are in Scripture. Have you ever just read Romans? Like, I cannot imagine what it was like as Paul to write this book. Like, and you can tell in Romans 11, 33 through 36, Paul is like, I think of a tea kettle. I love to make tea. Like, I have my own diffuser. I really love tea. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I love tea. So when I've got my little tea kettle on the stove, it gets really hot, and the water starts bubbling, and the water starts getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And then what does it do? It makes noise to let you know, I'm ready. I'm ready. Pick me up. Pour me. I'm not going to sing I'm a Teapot, short and stout. But it does that. And that's what I feel like in Romans. This is what's happening with Paul. He's getting hotter and hotter, and he's telling you about, in Romans 1 through 3, he's telling you about how salvation is for the Jews and the Gentiles because we are sinners and we need a Savior. And then in Romans 4, he's telling you, yes, we need a Savior, and it's not the law that saves you. It is faith in Christ. It is his grace. And then in Romans 5, he's telling you, as in Adam, there was one man, and through him it was like sin that infected an entire human race. But we have Christ. We have the new Adam. And through him, we have righteousness that can infect us. And then in Romans 6 and 7, you have this whole schizophrenic type Paul who's like, the sin that I want to do, I don't do, and the sin that I don't want to do, I do. And we have that battle, which we all face. But then in Romans 8, he starts out by saying, there is no condemnation for him who is in Christ Jesus. Even though I do all of this sin that I don't want to do, God does not condemn me. He saves me. He forgives me. When he sees me as a Christ follower, he sees Christ in me. And then you get to Romans 9. And Romans 9 through 11 is talking about just how God set apart Israel, and through Israel, he had the Savior. And in Romans 9 through 11, it's all about how the Gentiles and the Jews and how Christ came and God chose a people for himself. And then at this point, Paul's that tea kettle, and he's like, and here we go. So Romans 11, 33 through 36, this is the tea kettle that's going off. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And when you think about what Christ has done, how God from the beginning of time had this whole plan of salvation, this whole plan of redemption mapped out before the world was even created. God had all of this planned. And Paul just was beside himself and couldn't get over it. And just how wise and how huge and how smart and how incredibly detailed God is. And the reason we are starting here in our talk today is because we have to have an understanding of who God is. And if we're going to deal with our thoughts, we have to deal with our thoughts and the falsehood by first knowing what the truth is and by knowing who truth is. We have to know Christ himself. So let's just start and let's kind of walk through this passage. So you have in verse 33, the depth of the riches. And just think of like a bottomless treasury where like every time you pull something, there's just like more and more and more. And this is what Paul's saying. There's a bottomless treasury of wisdom and riches and knowledge of God. It's never ending. You cannot plummet the depths of how smart and intelligent God is. And does that not give you some kind of peace at mind to know that this is the God that's in control of my life? This God that has endless supply of knowledge, an endless supply of wisdom. He's the one that's in charge of my life. How unsearchable are his judgments? We cannot search them out. We cannot know them all. We cannot know everything. Inscrutable, that weird word, it just means that we cannot figure him out. And I love Ephesians 3:10 talks about God's manifold wisdom. And when you think about manifold wisdom, I've got this picture of a diamond. And kind of like Marion, I've been through that whole engagement period. In fact, I've had 3 engagements within my small group this semester, and they're juniors in college. All right? And so in all of these engagement rings, you look at these diamonds, and every direction they just sparkle. And you keep looking at another direction, and then another one, and another one. And you've got these multifaceted just sparkles. Think about God's wisdom as a multifaceted diamond with all of these different sparkles. Every time you see one thing, it's just glimmering and it's beautiful, and there's just more. So when he says his manifold wisdom, that's what that picture is. And we cannot know his mind. We cannot be his counselor, because who can counsel the one who has created all things, who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? And then he is the source. From him comes all things. He is the source. Through him, he's the mediator, he's the sustainer, and then to him, he is the goal of all things. So we have to start here. We have to start with correct theology, and correct theology should always lead us to doxology. It should always lead us to praise. Now, something you may not recognize, unless you've just sat there and read Romans all in one sitting, is that in Romans 1 through 11, Paul hasn't really been giving us any commands. He's just been describing who God is, describing what God has done, what God has planned. And then in chapter 12, he makes up for it with 34 imperatives. So he's going to give us a lot, but that's because theology should lead to praise. It should lead to doxology. And then flowing from our praise of God is our service to God, how we should live in light of him. And if you are trying to serve God, and you're putting service to God in front of your praise and adoration of God, then you're putting the cart before the horse. your service to God should be an overflow. It should flow from a heart that is so in love with Christ, a heart that knows him. And how can you know God and not want to live for him and be obedient? And so, here we go from here. So we have to start with a proper view of God. And then in Romans 12, verse 1. So let's read this together. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So therefore, in light of everything that I have talked about in the previous 11 chapters, Paul is saying, therefore, I appeal to you, I urge you, I exhort you, I compel you by the mercy of God. And think about God's mercy. God's mercy should be what compels us. God's mercy should be what captivates us. God's mercy should be what motivates us, what spurs us on to obedience. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that present, that's not a one-time action. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice is a moment-by-moment action that we do. So it's not just one time when I get saved, I've presented myself to you, I've got my security, I've got my inheritance, and that's it, God, fire insurance, let's go. Okay, it is a daily, daily presentation of yourself to God. So when it comes to our thoughts, don't be surprised that you're going to continue to battle. Don't be surprised that every day might be hard. Because it's not going to be easy to battle sin and temptation because we're sinners and that's what's natural for us. But we're called to be obedient. And even though it is hard, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us who empowers us to obey. So to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, we're to be holy, we're to be set apart to God, we're to be separated from the world. So you think about how the world acts. We're supposed to be different. You think about what the world thinks about. Does your thoughts look more like the world than they do like Christ? So think about how the world thinks about dating. What the world thinks about dating. Is that what you think about dating? Do you think about dating this way because that's what the world thinks? Or have you actually sat down and been like, that doesn't seem to jive with Scripture? Marriage. What does the world think about marriage? Or divorce? What does the world think about homosexuality? What does the world think about work or friendships or money or how we spend our time? And is that what you think? Do you think just like the world? Because we're called to be holy. Christ tells us to be holy as I am holy. So we're to be separate. We're to be different from the world, just like Christ is different from the world. And do your thoughts reflect that? So we should be holy and acceptable or pleasing to God, and that is worship. That is what God considers worship. Yes, we can sing and worship God, but a worshipful life and a worshipful person is somebody who is fully submitted to the lordship of Christ in how they live and in how they think and in what they desire. So I appeal to you by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because this is your spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. And I think of cookie cutters. I nannied for 3.5 years with a family, and that was always my go-to activity with the kids I nannied, because you just give them a ball of cookie dough and some cookie cutters and some icing, and they are set for the whole afternoon, and you can just have fun, and you get to eat all of it, which is great. And so you just take these cookie cutters, and the world has a cookie cutter, and Christ has a cookie cutter. And are you fitting the cookie cutter that the world has, or are you fitting the cookie cutter that Christ has? And when you're being, when it says do not be conformed to this world, it means don't let the world mold you and shape you. Don't let the world mold you and shape you. You should be shaped by Christ. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This means that there is like an internal change, that inside out, those concentric circles that David showed us yesterday, where you're starting, it means you've got to have a different heart. You're not going to fit Christ's cookie cutter if your heart hasn't been changed by Christ to begin with. So first step is just to be changed by Christ, to be transformed, to fit his mold, to be a completely new person. And how are we transformed? It says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by making your mind new. And hold on, because we're about to get really practical on how do you do that. But let me finish this verse first. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that which is the will of God. So you want to know the will of God? And who doesn't? I mean, David said last night, 95% of it is already given to us. But the other 5%, you want to discern what the will of God is? You're not going to know the will of God unless you know his word and unless your mind is being renewed. So you have to know the word. You have to be in relationship with him. The more you are in this, the more you know him, the more you draw near to him, the more he is changing your mind, the more he's completely, like, I think about it like a complete, like, computer overhaul, like rebooting the system. But this is like completely renewed system, all right? So when he does that, when he changes us, and the more we absorb this, the more it affects our thinking, and the more it affects our thinking, the better we are able to discern the will of God, that other 5%. By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and these things are all descriptive of the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. So, with renewing our mind, and here's the practical part. First of all, we will not live right if our minds are in the gutter. So whatever we sow, we reap. All right? Whatever you are sowing in your thoughts, you're going to reap in your life. All right? So the primary battleground for us, for sin, is in the mind. And we've got to learn to wage war on our flesh and to equip each other to do this. So we're transformed as our thinking is altered. So on your handout, you say, under renewing the mind, you have remember the ABCs. And I'm going to kind of walk you through this, and you can flip between that page and the next one where you see like the circle and it says webbing. I'm a pretty visual person, so webbing is something that I like to use. So I'm going to kind of flip between this list of ABCs and where it says webbing. And as I'm doing this, there's going to be a little bit of audience participation, so don't be afraid to speak up, okay? So when we talk about how to practically to renew our minds, it helps to remember the ABCs. And that first one is an actuating event, okay? So something happens in your life. It can be something big, so like your parents divorce. Or it can be something minor, like I got in a fight with my roommate. Well, that's not minor, but compared to a parent's divorce. And it can be something that happens a long time ago in your life. It can be something that happens today, all right? But you have this actuating event, something that happened. And from that actuating event, we have beliefs, we have thoughts that flow from that event. So tell me, if I'm dealing with a breakup, so my boyfriend and I, we broke up, what do you think would be some thoughts or beliefs I might have as a result of that breakup? What would just pop in my head that I might think? I'm not good enough. All right? So we have an actuating event. And what would be a feeling that might flow from that? You might have some different feelings. So tell me, after a breakup, how might you feel after a breakup?
Insecure.
All right. What are some other things that you might feel after a breakup?
Rejected.
All right, what else? Any other feelings?
Betrayed?
Okay. Anything else?
Embarrassed.
I think I spelled that right. All right, what else? Do you think you might feel lonely
right, so we have these feelings, things that we feel, but there's thoughts behind the feelings. All right, and I think you got it, one, I'm not good enough. And I think that that might relate or be behind insecurity. I'm not good enough. What else? What might be some thoughts that relate to insecurity? I feel insecure because my boyfriend broke up with me, but what might be some thoughts or beliefs that attribute to that insecurity? Or to any of these other things? What might be some thoughts that might be behind, or beliefs that might be behind feeling rejected, or feeling betrayed, or embarrassed, or lonely?
Unlovable.
I'm unlovable? Which one do you think that would go with?
Insecure.
So I'm unlovable. Okay, what else? Anything else? Any other thoughts or beliefs that might be associated with any of these feelings? Crickets again. All right. Well, we'll go with these two. All right. So you have on your sheet an actuating event, which is the breakup. You have beliefs or thoughts about that event. So a belief or thought might be, I'm not good enough. Or might be, I'm unlovable. And then you have consequences of those beliefs. So a consequence might be an emotion. It might be that I feel insecure. A consequence might be an action. So because I feel insecure, because I believe I am unlovable, because I believe that I am not good enough, then I'm going to have to find somebody else. Because I'm going to have to find somebody else that can make me feel lovable. I'm going to have to find somebody else that can make me feel like I am worthwhile, that I am good enough. So do you see how because I have these thoughts, I have feelings, and those feelings lead to actions? All right, and that's what I'm saying. When I say that you have an actuating event, you have beliefs and thoughts about that event, and then you have consequences of those beliefs. And our actions are always a reflection of our hearts and minds. Actions, always a reflection of our hearts and our minds. And as David said last night, and we were, all of the speakers were kind of talking, David kind of stole all of our talks. So he set us up really well. And so one of the things that he said that I just loved is he said that sin is grounded in a mind that believes that what I want is better than what God wants. Sin is grounded in a mind that believes that what I want is better than what God wants. So if I am believing these things about myself, if I am believing that finding another guy to replace the one that just broke up with me is going to make me happy, I am believing that what I want, that guy is better than what God wants. And you know, we can't change what has happened in our lives. I can't change that somebody might have broken your heart. You can't change that has happened. You can't change if you have been abused. You can't change that your parents might have gotten a divorce. You can't change that maybe your parents weren't the parents that they needed to be in your life. You can't change the hurtful things that people have said to you over the years. You can't change any of that, but you can change how you think about it. And that's part of renewing the mind. Renewing the mind is taking what is a lie, it is taking what is untrue, what is unbiblical, and it is replacing it with what is true and what is good. And so we can't change what happened, but we can change how we think about it. And I just want to ask you, do you dwell in your thoughts, do you dwell on the negative or on the positive? Do you dwell on the lie or do you dwell on the truth? Where do your thoughts lie? Where do your thoughts rest? What is the content of them? Are they focusing on the lie? Are they focusing on what is not true? Are they focusing on things like, I'm not good enough? That I'm not lovable? Because this is a lie from the pit of hell. Because your value as a human being is not based on what you can do. It is not based on what you look like. It is not based on who you know. Your identity is based on Christ. And the fact that you are created in the image of God and you reflect him and you have value and worthwhile because he says you do and he made you. Psalm 139 says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So God says that I am good enough. God says that I am lovable. I mean, you just read Romans 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You read Ephesians 1. If you ever just need, like, an identity boost, read Ephesians 1. Because in Ephesians 1, God is over and over, he's saying that he chose me. He lavished immeasurable riches of his goodness. You just read it. It's all this, like, ginormous, huge, epic language of how much God loves us and what God has done for us. And who we are to him, we are chosen. We have an inheritance. He's given us his Holy Spirit. God doesn't do that for people that he hates. God does that for people that he loves. We are lovable because he says that we are lovable and he finds us lovable. So our thoughts are like chain reactions. We have a thought that leads to emotions, that leads to actions. And if we don't like the consequences, if we don't like the fact that we feel lonely, if we don't like the fact that we feel rejected or betrayed or embarrassed or insecure, then how do we deal with it? And we deal with that by D, and that is disputing false beliefs with the truth. But to do that, you got to know the truth. You can't dispute a lie if you don't know that it's a lie. And you can't dispute a lie if you don't know what its converse is. And so you have to know the truth. And you guys, this is where it is so crucial that you spend time in the Word. And I don't know if you have a daily quiet time. I don't know if you have a regular, consistent time in the Word. But I had a hard conversation with two of the girls in my small group a couple of weeks ago. And I've walked with these girls for a while now. And I just looked at one of them having coffee. I just looked at one of them and I said, I'm not going to say her name, but I just looked at her and I said, you know a lot. You know, you're not going to really know much more than what you do right now. You've grown up in church. You've heard all these. You go to David Platt's church. It's not like you don't hear truth every week. You come to small group. You hear all of this, but you hear it from somebody else and you're not going to God for yourself. And so if you want to grow and if you want to go deeper in your relationship with God, that's not going to happen unless you are in the Word consistently. And so you might be okay with mediocre Christianity, but let me tell you, you are stagnant and you are rank nasty to God if all you are doing is content with your little bit of fire insurance. I mean, think about it. This is a relationship with Almighty God. And it would not be much of a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend if you never spent time with them. You wouldn't have a relationship. And it's not much of a relationship with God if you never spend time with him. You're just using him for when you need something. And so, if you want to know God, if you want to be transformed by him, then that relationship starts with you actually spending time with him in the Word. And in prayer, talking to him and asking him, God, give me a desire to know you. Give me a desire to read your Word. And let me tell you, if you need help doing that, you can talk to one of us. You can talk to one of our small group leaders, our pursuit team. We would love to help you to learn how to study God's Word for yourself. But you've got to take ownership and responsibility for your relationship with God. And let me tell you, listening to me, listening to David Platt, listening to a small group leader, that does not substitute for your own personal time with God. All of that because to dispute false beliefs, we have to know the truth. We have to know God's Word. And if we dispute false beliefs with truth, so if I was to take this belief that I'm not good enough, and if I were to search through Scripture and to see what does the Bible say about who God thinks that I am, and if I were to list that out, list out Psalm 139, list out Ephesians 1, then I would see that this is a lie. And I would need to claim that truth and hold on to that truth with all that I have. Hold on to that and speak that truth to myself. Don't let the world speak to me that I'm not good enough. I need to speak to myself what God's Word says to me. And I need to dispute that false belief. And that leads to E, affecting new consequences in my life.
So we have feelings because we have thoughts. We have actions because we have feelings because we have thoughts. So if I want to get to the root, then I have to start up here and I kind of map it out. And actually, I do this for myself. You can look in my journal. I have like 15 or 20 of these in the back. Some of them are for myself. Some of them are from just doing this with girls. But we'll just sit down and they're like, Ashley, I'm going through something. And I'm like, all right, start talking. And while they're talking, I'm just mapping it out. And I always start with, okay, so tell me, what are you feeling? What's the feeling? Because that's usually easier to identify, especially as girls. I don't know about guys, but it's usually easier to know how we feel. And so I just start, okay, so tell me how you feel. And after we work through and they just list off the feelings, then I'm like, okay, so why do you feel that way? What's the thought? What's the belief? And they'll kind of list out from there, and then I just show it to them. And I'm like, okay, this is what you just said. This is your word vomit on a page. Now, what does God's word say about this? Where is God in all of this? And that's their homework. Their homework is to find out what does God's word say about everything that they just spilled out onto a page of paper. And so once you do that, once you've done this for yourself, find what God's word says, and then we're going to talk about on the next page, what do you do with that? So what do you do with that? So first of all, do you know what does Scripture say about the particular sin that you struggle with? So we each kind of have certain things that we struggle with. You're going to have particular sins that maybe you struggle with more often, and it might be lust. It might be that you are anxious all the time. It might be that you battle insecurity. So whatever that is, you're going to know what that is. But do you know what the Bible says about that? Have you taken the time to look up all the passages of what the Bible says about pride? Or what if you're struggling with bitterness towards somebody, have you looked up to see what does the Bible say about bitterness? And what does it say about its converse? And I want to encourage you, if you have not done that, to take time to do that, because it goes back to disputing false beliefs with the truth. And that would help you to better understand what the truth is and what the truth says about the particular sin you struggle with. So the first thing you see right there is just to identify. So if we're going to renew our minds like Romans 12 talks about, then we have to identify, what is the content of my thoughts right now? What is the content? Which cookie cutter mold do my thoughts fit right now? And think about the thoughts that you even had today. You might have seen another girl at the conference that was dressed really cute and been like, just started comparing yourself. I don't look like her. I don't measure up. I don't know what thoughts you had. But I want you to think about, what was the content of your thoughts today? What do you dream or fantasize about? So daydreaming, dreaming in that little kind of like sleepy state when you're going to bed or when you're first waking up. What fills your mind at those times? What is the automatic thing that your thoughts gravitate towards? And then also, we have these things that I call pop-ups, because do y'all remember the days of like early internet where you had like pop-ups that would just come up on your computer? All right, we had dial-up for the longest time, and I hated those things as a child. But in your thoughts, you have pop-ups. You have things that it's like, that just came to mind, and it's like, what in the world? Where did that come from? And it's just totally off the wall. And sorry, Dina, you're the one guy, token guy in the room. So you may not think this way, but the rest of us do, because we're women, and you have waffles and you have spaghetti, and guys are waffles because they have boxes that they think in. And so they're very, like, one-tracked mind. But girls, we're kind of like spaghetti. We're all woven together, and our emotions are all, like, connected. And we can be in a conversation, and one thing makes us think of the next and the next. But sometimes, even for us, you have a pop-up, and it's completely random. And it's like, where did that come from? And again, pop-ups happen. But how do you deal with them when they happen? Do you even recognize, this thought just popped in my head, and oh my goodness, that's terrible. Like, do you even recognize that it's bad? So what types of things fill your mind? And you need to identify, is this of God or is this of the world? And we need to have selective hearing, or, but with our thoughts, we need to have selective thinking. So don't listen to the world. We need to listen to the truth.
And I think about it. I played basketball growing up through high school. And I think about it like offense and defense. I wasn't very good, all right, but I played. But I think about it like offense and defense. And we have offensive thinking. So we're on offense. We're going to try to score. And then we have defensive where we don't want the enemy to score on us. Okay, so with our thoughts. And so if we're going to play really good offense with our thoughts, we need to be careful about what influences us. What influences us. And in the music that you listen to, are you more like the world or are you more like Christ? In the movies and the TV shows that you watch, are you more like the world or are you more like Christ? In the conversations that you have with your friends, could a non-believer walk up and actually know that these people are different? Are your conversations with your friends more like the world, or are they more like Christ? What are you allowing to influence you? Magazines, media, social media. What are you allowing to influence you? So being careful, being selective about your influences. If I know something is bad for me, I stay away from it. All right? If you're on a diet, you stay away from the carbs or the sugar because you know that's going to make me gain weight. Do that with your thoughts. I don't want to gain weight with my thoughts. I don't want sinful junk entering my body, entering my mind. So stay away from it. Be careful about that. Another way to play offense in your thoughts is by studying the word. And not just studying it, but like meditating on it. And that's where memorizing is really helpful. So memorizing the word. And I'm a little bit of a country girl. I don't sound like one, but I come from a hometown where we had a rodeo team. We had tractor day at school where kids could drive their tractors to school that day. Yeah, I know. We got out for the opening of deer season. Seriously, we did. It was a great place to grow up. So a little bit of a farm girl, a little bit of a country girl, and I don't know if you know much about cows, but cows have more than one stomach. And so what they do is they'll like eat a little bit, they'll throw it up, and they'll eat it again. Okay, regurgitation, chewing the cud. Cows do that, but they're getting the nutrients they need because they keep throwing it up and eating it again. I know it's a little gross. Sorry, guys. Right after lunch. Thank you. But that's what we're supposed to do with the word. We're supposed to chew on it and digest it and throw it back up and focus on it again and chew on it some more and digest it and throw it back up and focus on it again. Don't just read it. Don't just read this thing and close it and it be like that science textbook that you read in high school that as soon as you closed it, you didn't remember what it said. We're not supposed to do that with the word. We're supposed to let it fill our minds. We're supposed to meditate on it. Let it regurgitate, meditate, memorize the word. That's another way of playing offense with your thoughts. And then just prayer. If I have a sin that I'm struggling with, if I have a sinful thought that I'm struggling with, am I praying to God about that? Am I asking not only for his forgiveness, but am I asking, God, lead me away from temptation? God, give me the strength to battle this. God, help me to know how to face this temptation in my thought life. Praying to God. God does not want us to sin, so pray and ask God for victory over this. And then accountability is another way that we have offense in what we think. Accountability. And I'm kind of jumping around on the page there, so you can kind of go down to accountability. But I want to say something about accountability. Accountability is not, it's not just becoming more comfortable confessing my sin and telling you what I've done wrong. All right, now we do need to have healthy confession, but if all you think accountability is just telling you what I've done wrong, then you're missing the point. Because all you're doing is just being more and more comfortable telling your mistakes, telling your sin, but you're not really doing anything about it. So accountability, it is confession, but it's also encouraging one another. It's equipping each other to obey and not just telling each other, this is how I've disobeyed. Encouraging one another in obedience, checking in, loving each other, bearing each other's burdens.
showing hospitality to each other, all of that is wrapped up in accountability, and we need that because we cannot deal with sin in isolation. So if you are trying to take these thoughts and you're just trying to deal with them yourself, good luck with that. Because you're not meant to, and you're not going to be able. We need people that we can talk to about what is going on. That's why discipleship, that's why small group community is so huge and so important, because we cannot deal with our sin ourselves. We are going to fail and fail miserably. I look back, and I was in a relationship when I was in seminary and dated a guy for 2 years and thought we were going to get married, and God completely redirected that path. And just even in contemplating, okay, God, like, what happened? Why did you even do that? I thought I was going to marry him, and why did you not let that happen? And God just started showing me different things and showing me purpose, and he also showed me some of the red flags that I missed, because we see what we want to see, and we need accountability to show us what we don't want to see. And that was something I realized was missing, was accountability. He did not have somebody asking him questions, and because of that, it led to sin. And because of that sin, we could no longer be together. And so we have to have accountability in our lives, people that are checking in on us, people that can ask us about our thoughts. So the girls in my small group, especially if I know that they are dating, I ask them to tell me, so have you been thinking about sex and doing stuff with your boyfriend recently? Because if so, we need to talk about this, because you just need to know I'm going to ask. We're going to talk about it. I care about you enough that I'm going to ask these things of you. And do you have people in your life that care enough about you to ask hard questions like that? And if you don't, pray. Pray that God will put that person in your life. And then you take initiative and seek that out. Don't just wait, but take some initiative there too. If you think about in a restaurant, a good waiter is not a waiter that always asks or waits to be asked to, hey, fill up my drink. A good waiter is perceptive and is looking, and it's taking the initiative to go pour it before your glass is even empty. We need to have that kind of initiative, that kind of waiting in our lives, where we are waiting, we are watching, but at the same time, we're taking initiative. And we're taking initiative in finding accountability as well as in dealing with our sin. So that's offense, playing offense with our thoughts, being careful about our influences, studying the word, memorizing the word, prayer, accountability. And we have to be intentional in filling our minds with truth. And then we have playing defense in our thoughts. Okay, so sometimes the opposing team is coming at us, and what do we do at that moment with our thought life? So how do we deal with pop-ups when they happen? And really, my one thing that I'm going to share is you need to have a go-to ready. All right? So, in basketball, you practice all of these plays. So when your coach says, do this, you do it and you put the plan into action and you're ready to go. All right? It's like that with our thoughts. We need a plan of action, so when that pop-up comes up, we are ready to go, and we know what we're going to do. And your go-to, it might be a verse that, okay, this is what I'm memorizing. Whenever a pop-up comes in, this is what I'm going to just say to myself and repeat to myself. Or it might be that I sing a praise song. It might be that I just start praying, and I take that thought, and I turn it into a prayer. God, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but God, I pray for your forgiveness. God, I pray for victory over sin. God, and just start praying for other people and praying for whatever, praying for mission, praying for God's glory to be known in your life, in the lives of others. But you can turn that into prayer. So you can focus on scripture. You can sing. You can do that. Sometimes I have to physically get up and do something. And I actually, at one point, I'm not a runner, really, but I started running because I needed something that I could do that was active. I can't think and run at the same time. Some of you can. I can't. And so I started running because I needed to, like, have something that I could get up and do, or kickboxing or something. So if you're dealing with pop-ups, it might be a host of different ways that you deal with it, but what is your go-to? And try out a couple of things. Try out what can be my go-to. What can be the thing where when a thought pops up, this is how I'm going to deal with it. So we need to have those things ready. So we identify our thoughts, and then we need to filter them. So we identify what is the content of our thoughts, and once we've identified the content, that's when we need to start asking ourselves questions. And I want you to turn to Philippians 4:8 real fast. Turn over a little bit to Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Identify the content of your thoughts and then filter them, and use Philippians 4:8 as your filter. So if it is not honorable or just or pure or lovely or commendable or excellent or worthy of praise, then it doesn't need to be something that I think about. And that's where the go-to kicks in. So think about like a song, you get a song stuck in your head. Have you ever had that happen? All right? You can't just like wish that song to go away because it's stuck in your head. So how do you get rid of it? You get a different song stuck in your head. All right? So if you have a thought that you cannot get rid of, get a new thought that you can replace it with. And that leads us to our next thing. So with filtering, we need to know the word to know how to filter. And our filter needs to stay on 24/7. And some questions you can ask to go along with Philippians 4:8 with filtering is, first of all, is it wise? Is what I'm thinking about wise? Is what I'm thinking about, does it go against Scripture? Does it go against God's truth? What I'm thinking about, is it drawing me closer to God or is it drawing me further away from Him? So is it wise? Does it go against Scripture? Will it draw me closer to God or further away from Him? And then I want you to think to yourself, take time to process, what is my motivation behind this thought? What is there? Why? Why is that? Why am I compelled to think that? Why am I compelled to linger on that particular thought? We need to ask ourselves those questions when we're filtering. And we need to think about, what do we need to do to guard against our weaknesses and our sin struggles? Do we know how to guard against those? And if you are fighting a battle, which we are in our mind, the side that keeps losing ground most often is the side that loses the battle. So don't lose ground with your thoughts. If you cannot have victory in your thought life, you're not going to have victory in your actions and in your emotions, because it all starts with the thoughts. So we need to filter, and we need to know God's word in order to know what to even filter. And then you see replacing. So we identify thoughts, we then filter them, and we only focus on what is honorable, just, pure, lovely. And that would be a great verse just to study. What do all those things even mean? And then we need to replace. And Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 both have some things to say about this, but we're going to turn to Ephesians. To turn back to the left to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22, and we're going to read through verse 24. We think it's Paul, he's talking to this church. And he says in verse 22, to put off your old self, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Again, that whole renewal of the minds. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're to put off. we're to take off the old and we're to put on the new. And I think about it like this, at night or at the morning when you're getting dressed for the day, you take off what you slept in and do you go out naked? No. No. So you put on clothes, hopefully. If not, we've got more problems. And so think about with your thoughts, you take off what is old. You take off what is reflective of the world, what is reflective of our sin nature. And we replace it. Because if you don't replace it, you're just leaving yourself open for anything. And so remember, we got to have a plan, because if you don't, you plan to fail if you fail to plan? All right? And so you've got to have a plan for what you're going to put on. So you're going to put off your old self, because it's corrupt, it's gross. And you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and you're going to put on the new self. The self, the thoughts that are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have to take off. And this is a daily, moment-by-moment process. And as we are doing that, and this is where Colossians 3 kind of comes in, as we're doing that, we need to seek the things of heaven and eternity. So we need to seek the things of heaven and eternity. And as Colossians 3:2 says, we need to set our mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so often we get anxious and we worry because we are setting our mind on earthly things. And what would happen if we were to set our mind on the things of God instead? And even think about, if you are a people pleaser, you're setting your mind on earthly things. You're setting your mind on people, and you're allowing your fear of man to eclipse your fear of God. And when you do that, it's going to lead to sin. Because our fear of God should be greater than anything else. So we need to seek the things of heaven and eternity. We need to set our mind on things above. And we need to put to death what is ungodly in us. Romans 13:14 says that we need to make no provision for the flesh. No provision. Because our flesh wants us to disobey. Our flesh wants to tear us away from our relationship with God. And we need to make no provision for that to happen. And so that's why guardrails in your life are so important. So if I know that I struggle with this particular sin, I don't need to like get right up close to it. I need to like kind of back up and have some guardrails for myself. So if I know that hanging out with this particular people, that I am tempted to compare, that I am tempted to gossip and think all of these things about myself and other people that are not of God, then I need to put some distance between myself, or I need to have some accountability. I need to have somebody that can help me, that can encourage me. So set guardrails for ourselves. And we need to speak the truth of the word to ourselves. So turn down the volume of the world and turn up the volume of God's word by reminding ourselves of who God is and what he says. So that's part of that replacing, turning up the volume of God's word. And in my prayer journals, I've even just kind of noticed, and even in my prayers, God's just been teaching me a lot about just praise and about focusing on who he is as I'm praying. And that's just even something, I don't know about you guys, but I forget so easily. And I sin because I forget. I forget who God is. And I need to remember that God is enough. I need to remember, God, you are good. You are good. This thing over here that I'm pursuing, it's okay, but you are what's good. And even though I might suffer, even though terrible things might happen in my life, God, you are good, you are sovereign, you knew this was going to happen, you have a plan and a purpose, and you are using all things for your glory and for my good. And we need to remind ourselves of those truths. And guys, if those truths get old, what's left after you get over the gospel? Like, there's nothing left. We don't ever need to get over it, because that's the best thing that there is. It's kind of like, you know how we talked about the tea kettle? It gets hot, and it starts blowing. Don't get to a point where you ignore the tea kettle, that you ignore the goodness and the glory and the greatness of who God is and what he's done. It should always move us to praise. So we identify our thoughts, we filter, and we can use Philippians 4:8 as a filter. We replace, we take off the old, and we put on new. We need accountability in our lives. And just two thoughts that I want to leave you with before we wrap up our time together. So the last two thoughts. So we talked about how we have a chain reaction. We have thoughts that lead to emotions that lead to actions. And we've talked about discipleship. We've talked about a pursuit of God last night. And I just want to say to you that the heart, your heart cannot love what your mind does not know. So you are not going to have a love for God if you do not know God. Your heart cannot love what your mind does not know. And the more we love, the more we know about the Savior, the more we love him. How could you not love him? And then the concluding thought, and this was a quote actually by Beth Moore in her book, So Long Insecurity. And she says, we don't have to love something for it to become a God to us. All we have to do is devote our most valuable mental attention to it. In its most basic essence, worship is simple focus, voluntary preoccupation. So you don't have to love something for it to be a God, for it to be an idol in your life. All you've got to do is develop or devote the most of your mental attention to it. And that's why it is so crucial for us to know what is filling our minds and to identify what is the content of our thoughts. So what are you worshiping? If that statement is true, and I believe it is, what are you worshiping? What preoccupies your thoughts? And in what we heard today, James 1 tells us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So if all you do is hear everything from this whole conference to hear just from today, but it doesn't apply, you don't put it into action, you're deceiving yourself. So I want you to think through just, okay, God, in light of what I have heard, in light of the truth from your word, what is it that you want me to do? And let that be your prayer. God, what is it that you want me to do in light of what I have heard? And you can see on the bottom of the page, if you want to just read more scripture on renewing the mind, I've listed several passages there for you. And I'm going to close just by reading the one that's on there, Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. It's one of my favorite go-to verses, actually. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. And it says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Let me pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you for being an everlasting rock. Thank you for being a solid foundation, something that we can stand on. You are sure, you are solid, you are unchangeable. God, thank you for being Almighty Creator, and not just being a God who made us, but God, thank you for being someone who loves us and who desires a relationship with us. And God, I pray just over the people in this room. God, we're all sinners. We all deal with temptation. We all deal with sinful thoughts. And so, God, I pray that we can be equipped and that we can be victorious in battling sin in our minds. God, thank you that we are not in this alone. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that you have given us, the Spirit who teaches us truth, the Spirit who convicts us, the Spirit who points us to you, the Spirit who empowers us to obey. Thank you, Father. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So we have just a few minutes, so I just want to take this time. Do y'all have any questions? I know that that was like information fire hose in a day and a half where you're just hearing a lot. So do you have any questions about what we just talked about? Can't promise I'll have an answer, but we'll try. Do you have any questions? Yeah.
Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one.
So my question is, it's like all my life, until yesterday, I was believing that when the enemy can put battles in your life, and it's the way that he works. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, yesterday we were talking with another person. And I was just realizing all that you said, and then there is another description that says that what we have in the past is what is the way we see it. That's what Jesus said, so that all the bad thoughts come from our hearts. So my question is it that a lie that the enemy put bad thoughts in our minds?
Okay, a couple of things with that question. She was asking if you. She was asking, does the enemy put bad thoughts into our minds? That's what you're asking. A couple of things there. First of all, we don't need the enemy's help to sin or to think bad thoughts. So that's first of all. I mean, we are sinners, and we're going to sin in our thoughts because we are fallen. As far as Satan goes, Satan does not know what you're thinking. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. Only God. So Satan does not know what you're thinking. However, Satan has had many thousands of years of observing humanity. And he's very good, he's a very good people reader. And so he's very good at reading us. And we have influences from the world. And so Satan will use these influences to suggest things to us to think. And we don't need a whole lot of help in grabbing on to the suggestions of the world. We do that pretty naturally. So as far as Satan planting a thought into our head, I don't know if I would agree with that, but as far as Satan suggesting things and us taking hold of those suggestions, yeah, I can see a biblical basis for that. Does that help? Okay. Any other questions? Well, if you will pull out your schedules, I'm just going to walk us through what's next. And then you guys are free to go. So if you pull out your conference schedule, it is 2:36. And we have really the next until 3:45 is kind of a coffee hour. And so right outside these doors, we're going to have coffee, lemonade, and water. And again, this is time for you to process with each other what you're hearing. This is time for you to just kind of take a break from the information fire hose. It's a time for you to get to know other people as well. And there will be several, our pursuit team. So if you do just want to talk or pray with someone, look for the red / orange. We had some people that had an aversion to looking like an Alabama fan, so they wanted to wear orange. I know.
So look for somebody wearing those colors with a name tag that says Pursuit Team on it. And let this be a time, too, if you just need somebody to talk with or to pray with, these people are available to you. And we even have a room upstairs that we'll take you to, so if you do want to talk even a little more privately, not in front of everybody, you can go there. So that's what this time is for. And you can pretty much go outside or use upstairs if you want to sit up there. We just ask that you not go into the main room because our band is doing a sound check. And we'll open those doors at 3:45. So you have from now till 3:45 to get a drink, to talk to somebody, to hang out, and to process a little bit. So thank you guys for coming, and you're dismissed.
Following through. I mean, it sounds like immediate.
about her.
Yeah.
And again, that's indicative of where is she at with her relationship with God right now.
And it's hard too, because whenever she does, then she'll be like, oh, you're right, like I didn't think of it that way, and like she knows all the right things to say back to me, like my heart was, like there was just sin in my heart, like responding to you, like, and these things that like makes me feel bad, like, okay, like don't act like there's not sin in, like there's sin in my words too, like I don't want you to think
that I'm
some above you or anything like that, just because I'm not in this, like, I'm not in a relationship where I have these opportunities to do these things or whatever. And but so it's like kind of hard to kind of just be like, well, I still don't think you're really getting it, even though what you just said to me was all correct. But,
and you can't make
it. I know.
And that's the hard thing, because you're like, I want you. I want so much more for you. But you can't make her want it.
And that's why I'm just kind of at the point where I just want to be like, I just don't think you're fighting it. Like, plain and honest, like, I just don't.
Not. But you can pray for her and pray that God would convict her and that God would show himself to her and that she would see what she's doing and that it would just that she won't be, she'll be so dissatisfied with it.
Yeah.
That she won't see this change. But you can't make her.
I know.
And that's hard, because you just want to shake them and be like, don't do you get it?
Well, and a lot of times, like, what would you say to the girls that you lead? Like, you would be the first one to call them out on this, but like you're telling me all these reasons why it's okay, and I'm just like, I don't.
And that's where you say, all right, I'm seeing that you've said you want accountability, and I'm seeing that you're doing all of this even though you said you're not to, so obviously it looks like this really isn't important. You don't really desire God if you're continuing to follow through with this.
And obviously these boundaries that you two have said you've set up for each other are not enough.
And so, and even ask her, how can I serve you?
Yeah.
And so how can I be a better, how can I help you to walk in faithfulness? But you cannot do more to help her than she does to help herself.
Yeah.
You can't own that, because if she's not doing anything, you can't carry her.
Yeah.
So don't try to do more than she's doing.
And I think, like, it's hard, too, because, like, in a previous relationship that she had, like, I didn't say anything. And so, like, when we were talking about it in an aftermath type sense, like, I, like, apologized, because I was like, I knew all this time, but I didn't know what to say, and, like, it was just really hard for me. And so now, like, we've had that conversation to where it's like, okay, next time, I'm going to speak up, I'm going to say these things, and it's like, now I am, and she's getting, like, defensive, and I told her, I was like, you got mad at me for not saying, calling you out, and now you're getting mad at me for calling you out, like, I don't know what to do.
She doesn't want anything that's going to be convicting.
It's just hard.
It is. Well, what's your name, and what's
Liz,
your name?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm not going to say.
Well, why don't we pray for her right now?
Okay.
So, Liz,
thank you.
What to say. Father, that you can just give It was nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
Hey, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Karen.
I took a lot of notes.
Thank you.